Say praise the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. We sure enjoyed Brother Darrell on Thursday night, didn't we? Amen. Lord blessed us with him coming by. Brother Darrell, usually everybody's calling him and booking meetings with him. And he don't usually do any calling, but he calls me because I told him, anytime you're passing through, I told him that years ago, anytime you're passing through here, why, give me a call. Come on by and help us out. And so he told me, he said, that you're one of the only ones that I feel comfortable enough just to call them. So, and he told me after the service, he says, I always enjoy preaching here. He says, your people are real easy to preach to. Amen. I love Brother Darrell Ward. One time he took care of the service while I was gone to the Philippines, and he wrote me a little note and left it on my desk. When I came back, I found that note there, and I stuck that note in my Bible. It was just a little note of encouragement. I stuck that note in my Bible, and I still carry it. It's just sometimes you need little things like that, you know, to every once in a while the devil says, ain't nobody cares about you. Pull out one of them cards somebody's give you or some note or something where they talk about they cared about you and say, well, this person does. I got proof. Amen. Let's just bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thankful, Lord, to be here this morning. Lord, we come before you, Lord, humbly asking, Lord, that you will, Father, use us in the office and capacity in which you called us, Lord, to where, Lord, you'd be able to come, speak to your people, strengthen them, give them help, give us guidance, Lord. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of God. Amen. Mark chapter 3, verse 31 through 35. I want to kind of take up from where we left off last Sunday. I promise I won't preach as long as I did last Sunday, if I can help it. And I didn't realize really how long I'd preached last Sunday. And of course, I'm promising you that, and I didn't even bring my watch out here. So we're going to have to we used to have a clock up there in the back years ago before we remodeled the church. But when I first came, maybe it was just because of that or whatever, I don't know. While I'd be preaching, I'd see people turn around like this and look back at the clock. And that was pretty distracting. That's why I took the clock out of here. And I guess I could put one up here where nobody has to look over his shoulder except for me. Amen. Hallelujah. I went to a church one time. I was attending a church where they didn't have no windows in the assembly, and they didn't have no clock. And I'm going to tell you what, friends, you lose track of time while you're just in there. And I'll tell you this, there was so much going on in the service, you didn't care how long it was lasting. That's the truth. I was about 15 years old. And you think about a 15-year-old being in the service, not being distracted by anything. How in the world could you keep a 15-year-old's attention like that? Well, that particular minister had such a ministry, he kept your attention. Amen. Mark chapter 3, verse 31. There came then his brethren and his mother standing without and sent unto him, calling him. And a multitude said about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek thee. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about them which sat about him and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. Amen. You may be seated. In the anointed ones at the end time, Brother Branham was praying. I just want to read this quote to you before we go on. He says, He's praying. He says, cleanse our heart, Lord, from all the filth of the world. Lord, I stand ready for cleansing. I stand ready with this church, with all that's listening in, whoever listens to this tape. I stand, Lord, asking for cleansing. Lord, take me to the potter's house. Break me up. Mold me a servant that you'd want. For Lord Jesus, I'm a man of unclean lips, as Isaiah cried, dwelling with people of unclean lips. And woe is me, for I see the revelation of God being made manifest, as Isaiah saw the angels in the temple. I see the end time, Lord, and woe is me and my family. Woe is me and my people. O eternal God, have mercy upon us. I plead for myself and the people. Let us not perish with those who believe not, but may we live with the believers. Not perish with those that believe not, but let us live with the believers. Amen. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. And let's read verses 18 and 19. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as we have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now as there's many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, you've no doubt perhaps heard this scripture used many times about around the exodus of people. And I don't really focus. I know I've mentioned about there's an exodus that's going on right now. There are people that are leaving the message, turning their backs and walking away. And it's not something that is new. However, this one is kind of a mass exodus of people, and not only of lay members, but of the ministry as well. And it grieves your heart. It does, it grieves your heart. But then, as John said, if they were one of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But he said they went out to manifest that they were not one of us. And, you know, we at times, I preached a message one time about where it said the word fell amongst stony ground, and it fell amongst, you know, and when it fell amongst the stony ground, why, you know how it says, and some fell in the thickets and briars, and some, you know, but a stony ground, it says after a while they became offended. After a while they became offended and they left. And I liken that to individuals. We would see that we have seen throughout our Christian walk that will come to the Lord. No doubt they come to accept justification. Some may even come to accept sanctification, but then they stop there. But while they're there, you see that enthusiasm, that excitement of someone that's new. And the church, especially small churches, when they get somebody that comes in like that, well, they reach out to embrace them. And then after some time, you've witnessed where they begin to change. They begin to grow a little cold. And they begin to quit going around fellowshipping with different ones. And then they start missing church. And then finally, they're not here anymore. And you know, I said that sometimes it makes people, the members of the church, leery when somebody comes in. They're like, well, we don't know whether we want to give our heart or not. Because if we extend our heart out, then we run the chance of it getting broke again. Because, you know, those folks that come in, and you love them. We've had that here. Now, there's some that has went, and they went on to go to other assemblies. Praise God. Wherever they're going, that they might get fed or get their help that they need. because my ministry is not for everybody. If my ministry would have been for everybody, then God wouldn't have sent me necessarily here. But my ministry is for here. And this ministry that God has given me, I was trying to make mention of this last Sunday. I don't think I quite made the point, but my brother and I, though we're from the same earthly family, and there are a lot of attributes of us that are similar, there are things that we are as different as night is from day. And when you realize that, then when you get around, you see the church he pastors is up north, and the church I pastor is down here in the south, then you can see, well, why God made us that way, to where even being earthly brothers, there would be some things we're so different upon. God had it ordained for me to be born in the mountains of West Virginia and for him to be born in the flatlands of Ohio. And there are things we're different on, you know. My brother, why, he didn't grow up necessarily. I grew up around people saying y'all and fixing to. I'd say, well, I retch over and got that. And somebody asked me, said, what in the world? That ain't even a real word. I said, don't tell me. I've been using it my whole life. It's a word. I retch over and got that. I retch over and grabbed that child. And my brother, my dad, Brother Jim could probably relate to this. My dad, when he was a young boy, his daddy moved him up to Detroit, Michigan for a while. I was working up there, and my dad was made fun of because of the way he talked. And when dad moved up there himself, when he was a young man, started work, my dad started, he'll tell you now, I never talked like that, but he did. And he started to change the way he talked so that, he could kind of fit in where he was. So you hear him talk today, and of course, my grandmother now, she never changed a bit. My grandmother Brownie moved up north, but she never changed a bit. She's still washed things, she had her sayings that she would use. She'd say, one day they'll be singing up on the hill, she'd say. Now I forget how she'd say it, but she was, they used to sing up on the hill behind her house where there was a graveyard up there. And so when they'd go to bury people, they'd go up there and stand around the grave and sing. And so she had some kind of saying about it. It's kind of slipped my mind right now. There's something about they'll be singing up on the hill one day, but it won't be for you, and it was talking about how somebody lived. They wasn't doing right, but back to what I was talking about, when I preached on that time about the seeds being sown among stony ground, then the people continue with you for so long, and then sometimes they'll get offended over something. And, no doubt you've seen it, not that I'm trying to talk ill of anyone, but no doubt over your years of serving God, you've seen it happen where somebody, they would get offended and they would leave. Now, I've seen it to where everywhere the individual goes, they get offended. And then you kind of wonder, unless they really relocate, where are they going to go? They've tried every church in Middle Tennessee. Now where are they going to go? Every church has got a problem. And they got free of it whenever that individual left. And there's some, they'll become offended, and they'll go back out to the world. And they'll never darken the church doors ever again in their life. What was it? It was that they had their opportunity. They made their choice. They became offended by the word. Many times we think when you're preaching, say, well, watch how you say it, preacher, so you don't offend nobody. But yet Jesus, one time speaking, looked at them and said, have I offended you? You know, there were many that would get offended at some of the things Jesus said because they had no understanding of it. And you'd think that Jesus would take time to explain it so they wouldn't be offended. And that's one of the faults I have. I want to try to explain everything to everybody. I don't want nobody to be offended at me. And yet, when I get in the pulpit, why, you say, well, my goodness, it don't seem like that when you're preaching. And that's because I'm under anointing. Then I get out from under that anointing, and I go home, and you can ask my wife, and I'll sit there and go back over those things that I can remember in my mind, and I'll say, my goodness, I hope I didn't say that too harshly, or I hope I didn't. But then when you hear me preach, I just, as plain as could be, you know. God made me that way because he was sending me in the South. In the South, you don't beat around the bush. Just get down to it and sell it. Is that right? Isn't that right? You go to beating around the bush. I've talked to individuals. You go to beating around the bush down here, and they'll say, what are you trying to say? You know, just say it. What are you trying to say? And it didn't take me much. I was saying, I think I mentioned it last Sunday, it didn't take me much to go from being a mountain boy to settling here and becoming Southern. And there's a lot of, there are some ways that I have picked up since living here. And I had to learn to talk slower. And I had to learn to preach a little slower. Because if I got to preaching too fast or talking too fast, then folks wouldn't understand me. And so over the years I've been here, well, I got to where I talked and preached a little slower. And maybe that's what takes me so long to get a message out. The message preached in Toledo, Ohio, 51. Brother Aaron says, I was converted into the Baptist church and just came out from the Baptist church. I belong to no church now that I might pull together the family of God. Now, we know that he was actually, because the Baptists are not known for putting anybody out, really. That's the truth. But especially over doctrine, but they pulled his membership, Brother Brim's membership, of the Baptist Church, because they didn't agree with his doctrine. And he says that in this message in another place, but he says that I belong to no church now that I might pull together the family of God, not representing any one church, but only the one church, and that's the only true church, the body of Jesus Christ. Now, we become a Christian by birth. We know that. We don't become a Christian by going and putting our name on a membership book and becoming a member in that way. That isn't what makes us a Christian. We know that, and we can think logically through this. We know that just going and putting your name on something, somebody could go do that, and though they say they're a member of certain church, but then you look at them and they still aren't living godly. So you don't get into the family of God by signing up for it, you know. The folks that's in the Horner family, they didn't get into the Horner family because, or in the Browning family because they said, well, I think I want to be in that family. They were born into that family. And then we've got us, the Gentiles, if we want to look at this spiritually and relate it to something naturally, we got us, the Gentiles, who became adopted sons and daughters of God. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And then we're born by a spiritual birth, born into the family of God. Turn with me to Ephesians 3:14. So if we're in the family of God, we should have a family name, shouldn't we? There should be a family name. Verse 14 of Ephesians 3. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So we do have a family name. It's God's family. Isn't that right? We know as the bride of Jesus Christ, we are Mrs. Jesus Christ. Right? As we know that we are sons and daughters of God. So we do have a family name of who the whole family in heaven and earth are named. Turns me to 1 John chapter 3. I know we're going back and forth here a bit, but there's some things I just want to get to and show. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In the message of Our Hope is in God, preaching 51, Brother Branham says again here, he's talking about what I had mentioned earlier. He said, I come not representing any church. I represented the church that every one of you represented, that them that are born of him are in the kingdom of God, the body of Christ. I've been in the Branham family for 40 years. They never asked me to join their family. I was born into the Branham family, and that's how you come into the family of God. It's not by joining church. I have nothing against that. That's all right, and you should do that. But you're born into the church of God. That's your birth. And you become a child of God by being reborn again, regenerated, become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Then you are a son or daughter of God. Message of law or grace. I just want to read some of these things so then as I talk and go on, then you know where I'm coming from. Now, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, goeth out and giveth you invitation to the wedding supper. See, now that it's up to the bridegroom then to furnish the robes. He did by his own life, giving out the Holy Ghost, and you come to the door with your invitation. Jesus said, I'm the door to the sheepfold. And when you come, through Jesus' name, you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Receive the Holy Ghost, then you enter in and you become a member of the family of God. You say a member? Sure. Will I become a servant? No, you don't. You become a member. You're not servants. You're sons and daughters. We are now sons and daughters of God, a member of God's family. Oh my, am I living in a shack, but I'm of royal blood. There you are, member of the household of God. That's scripture. That's what the scripture says. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, see, that we should be called the sons of God. Oh my, there they are. We're born by new birth. That's what brings us to be sons and daughters. That's how we get into this family. Now, in this family, and I want to address something here. I've seen how that we will, in the natural, take up for our family. Somebody says something about a family member many times, depending on, I guess, our opinion of them, or even how close we are to them, or how close it is, especially in our immediate family, why usually take up for them. You'll stand together against somebody that's coming against the family. But I've seen in the family of God, it should be the same way. If you're out and about somewhere and somebody And because it happens, somebody says something against one of the believers you go to church with, that's your family. And if you sit there and you don't correct them, just let it go, then to them, they're thinking, well, you just agree with it. And I'll tell you this, we all got faults. We do. Sometimes this may be hard for you to understand. I hope God will help me to explain it. Sometimes the things we're the best at, we get so good at them that it becomes our fault. You say, how is that? Because we put so much emphasis on that, we leave emphasis off of something else. I know that it takes money to provide. We gotta have it. Be honest with you, I don't like it. Say why? Because it's not having it that keeps me where I'm at. If it wasn't money, then we'd all be on the same level pretty much. I know you gotta provide for your family, and I believe in that. I believe that, and you know, nowadays, and I know there's folks around the message disagree with me, but nowadays, to make it in this economy, it about takes two people working just to make it, just to go. And you say, well, no, not necessarily. Well, you know, maybe that depends. But you take a young couple starting out right now. Now, some of you that's sitting here that's 60 years old and older, why, you knew a different time than the time like it is now. My daddy could go off of one job and find another job. My dad, maybe the jobs didn't pay well, so there was times my dad would work 2-3 jobs just to make it. But the thing was, he could get them. Today, it is hard to get a job that's paid, that does pay good. They might be paying more than what they ever paid back then, but the cost of living is so much higher. I've had people say, well, Brother Ram said he lived, what was it, $100 a month? Something like that. Yeah, a house costs $5,000. Try to find you a house for $5,000 today. If you find a house for $22,000, you got a fixer-upper. A lot of fixing up. If it's even worth anything. It's so a young couple starting out today trying to get on their feet, why, you know, let's say they're making $10 an hour. $10 an hour is not going to go far in this time and era, especially if it's only one income in the family. By the time Uncle Sam takes out his part, Social Security takes out their part, you know, then you got health insurance you got to pay for. You got to have health insurance. By the time you get done, why, what is there left to live on? Tell me how somebody like that could take and say, well, I'll pay rent and I'll pay utilities, water, electric. Maybe they got a well, I don't know, but I can tell you this. Brother Leo was here, and somebody could testify to it. You think a well is free? Wait till you got to, in the dead of winter, pull that pump up out of that well and replace it. Out there freezing to death, your hands wet and cold. Tell me it don't cost. When your pipes get plugged up from all the settlement and everything else is in there, and you got to crawl under your place, and it ain't never in the summer. It's always when the ground's froze. Then you got to crawl under there, and there's got so much sediment in the pipe, your water won't hardly come through. So you got to replace all your pipes. Now, I'm not against having a well. I'm just saying it ain't free. And you got to pay the electricity on that pump to pump that water out of there. So that's a cost on electricity you wouldn't have if you had city water. And I'm not city water pro or against well water, nothing like that. I'm just talking about costs of things. And you know, try to rent a place today. Today, rents got so high that if you could get credit to get a loan, you'd be a whole lot better off. You a lot of times could get a cheaper payment than you could rent. And you say, why is that? It's because they got to get enough money out of the people that's renting so when they move out, they can fix that place back up. Because people don't take care of things anymore. You say, well, I would. You're one of the few. You're one of the few. Anybody that's ever owned rental property can tell you all the work they got to put into it when they get somebody moved out of there before they can get somebody else moved in. Why? Because they treated that house like it belonged to them. I've had people say, don't worry, I'll treat it like it belongs to me. And I'll say, no, no, you treat it like it belongs to me. Don't treat it like it belongs to you, because I don't know how you treat stuff. Had somebody one time ask me, say, hey, can I borrow your tools? And I said, yeah, when you're done with them. There's some wrenches and sockets and stuff like that. So when you're done with them, clean all the grease off of them and everything else. I keep my tools clean. And you know what they told me? Never mind. Never mind. Well, not everybody's the same. You know, I've seen where we're too quick to criticize our godly family. Sometimes we're more quick to criticize one of our godly family than we are our own earthly family. I know where I was now. You could put so much emphasis on money, and it's a good thing to work and have a job and provide, but you could put so much emphasis on having money that it could become a fault, meaning that an individual could be in torment anytime they thought money ain't coming in enough. If it torments you to not know what you're going to get, you ought to stand in my shoes sometimes. I'll tell you this, friends. Look, you know what's better? You know what's better than money? Faith. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the one taking care of you anyway. The job you've got, He provided. Amen. I'm going to tell you this. If you're a son or daughter of God and you want a job and you go before God and you pray, you'll get one. I promise you, you will. But you got to want one. One time my dad, now this was back in the 60s, he met a fellow, and the fellow told him, I'm going to try to say this so it doesn't seem wrong, but He said, I want a job. Or no, he didn't say so. He says, I want a paycheck, but I don't want to work. That's exactly what he told him. He said, I want a paycheck, but I don't want to work. And he was working with my dad. I believe it was at a place called Union Carbide. Made batteries, you know. And they worked out on the docks. And he'd always catch this individual loafing around somewhere. Well, I want a paycheck, but I don't want to work. And I'll tell you what, that is a very big attitude of a lot of folks today. And it crosses all racial lines. In other words, I'm saying it don't matter whether you're white or black or whatever you are. I'll tell you this, it's a real strong American spirit anymore. And that is the truth. There's friends of our family that we know that they're Asian. Now, I'm going to tell you something, buddy. They don't shy away from work. One family's from Korea. They work. Not only that, the whole family works. What? Because that's what they're used to. The whole family work just to keep the household going. I want to read this. This really struck me when I was reading it, and I wanted to just read it to you this morning. He says, this is in Taking Sides with Jesus, 1962. Anything that's pertaining to God is part of me, no matter what. If it's anything that's for God's children, it's for me. Whether it's my duty to do this or do that, it's my duty to see to God's heritage, regardless of where it's at. Just like you'd say, well, like if you was a little boy and you'd say, my business is to chop the wood, not pack it in. Let John pack it in. I don't care if the snow falls on it and rains, let him get out and get it. No, it's your duty as a child of that home to see that the wood don't get wet. Hey, amongst children, you'll find, well, that ain't my dog. That's not mine. Garbage could be so packed in that can to where when you open it to put something in, you got to. But you think anybody coming by there would think, let me gather that up and take it out. It ain't my job. Not my job. Brother Horn says, that's causing just two of you anymore, Brother Horn. Yeah, it narrows it down. Now, I'll tell you what. You know, gathering up the trash used to be my job. After I had all these back surgeries, why, carrying carton of trash around, we started putting it on the boys. Now it's my job to haul it off and get rid of it. But there's times when nobody's tying up the trash, and I'm like, okay, I'm done with this. Can't throw nothing away no more. Say, well, that ain't my job. Do it anyway. You're part of the household. Listen, as he goes on, he says, they say, well, Frank should have went and got the water. Now you can tell what time era the prophet grew up in. My daddy, you know, he grew up poor. He said they had running water. And he said it was two-legged running water. They lived down by the creek, and that's where they got their water from, to take baths, to wash their clothes, everything. And this is a hillbilly saying, maybe y'all use it. They packed the water. They packed the water from the creek to the home. And my mom, dad always says, mom, you know, her dad was a boss in the mines, you know, because all these communities, like where I talk about where I come from, they all started from coal camps. And the ones that were the bosses and all that, well, they ended up with a little bit better homes. And the workers, Why? A lot of times they had them, what you'd call a shotgun house, a little tiny shack, like, you know. And mom lived up on the hill, and they had running water. You know, they had an indoor bathroom, and they had an indoor bathtub with water that ran in it. When she married Dad, why, they was taking it, and I don't, Brother Horner or some of them probably could tell you that, what was that, a number something wash tub? Number three wash tub. Big old wash tub. And they take a bath in that. And Dad went and what they did. They pack water. They didn't pack water up there and dump it out after somebody got done bathing, then pack more. They packed water up there, and one took a bath, and then they got out another and got in and took a bath. My mama wasn't going to do that. And then Dad, you know, packed some water up there for her, and she went to get in that wash tub, and she said, well, there ain't enough water in there to bath with. And so any time that it was her time to take a bath, why, Dad would be back and forth, filling that tub up to get enough water in there for her. So my grandfather would say, well, Patty May's going to take a bath. Better go bail the creek dry. Boy, things like that, we don't know nothing. Some of us don't know nothing about that. Whew. No wonder they say this generation's got so soft. They had to pack water whether it was summer or winter. And being as in West Virginia, that, you know, they'd go out and gather wood, but a lot of times they burn coal because it was in plentiful supply for them coal miners. They'd burn coal. You know what burning coal does? It gets a black soot everywhere. I've burned coal. I've gathered wood. I've split wood to keep the house warm. Anyway, I just brought that up so some of the other generation know what they meant. Said, well, Frank should have went and got the water. It ain't my business. But if Frank didn't get the water, it's your business to take care of the water. That's all. Now, that's just the way it runs, and that's the way it runs in God's family, too. You know, this building don't belong to Brother Horner. This building it don't belong to Seth Roberts or David Horner. It ain't their building. It ain't my building. It's our building. It's our church. Whatever we do with this, it's ours. We're just doing unto ourselves. You say, well, ain't my job to turn make sure all the lights is turned off when we leave. But if you're there, nobody else is, flip the switch. Believe me, it won't break your arm. You know, we have a cleaning roster, which to try to help keep it, keep the sanctuary and the church clean, you know. But you know what? If you see something, it's down somewhere, something on the floor, pick it up and throw it away. Say, my name's not on the cleaning roster. Okay. Don't matter. Just pick it up and you know, you see something that needs tending to, why? If you can do something about it, do something about it. Amen? Then we ought to be mindful of one another. We ought to be mindful of one another. You know, and I'll be honest with you. You know, up to this point in time, we don't have any deacons in the church. And I'd like some deacons because what the deacon's responsibility, one of their things are supposed to, they're not just police the assembly, but their responsibility by the scripture is they see somebody in need, they're to kind of keep an eye out. And if they see somebody's in need, hey, bring it to the attention of church so we can do something to help them. But seeing as how we don't have any deacons right now, I believe we could kind of just look out for one another, couldn't we? Yeah. And, you know, there was a brother I knew. He'd go around visiting the people in the assembly. While he was visiting them, every once in a while, he'd walk in their kitchen, look in their cupboards. And what he was looking was to see if they had groceries. And if it looked like they didn't have much, why, I'll tell you what, it wasn't long after that they had groceries. And every time they'd ask somebody, hey, I know you've been out of work for a little bit. You know, y'all need some groceries. Or if you know they've been out of work, just go get them some. You know, help out. We got to look out for one another. Now, I've seen it, and I just want to make this clear and balanced. I've seen it where we've helped people out and then walk away from it. Now, you don't got to keep that up. You know what I mean? You help somebody out, but if they're not trying to help themselves, if, you know, they're not, then, and they're not going to appreciate it, then, and we've done plenty of that in the past. We've done plenty of that. And usually during this time of the year, we used to have a phone here at the church. We don't have one anymore. We kind of did away with it, and the era of cell phones come in, and it really wasn't needed. But we used to have a phone here, and I'd be here. I tell you, during this time of the year, I'd get all kinds of phone calls, people asking for charity. And the thing was, you know, sometimes they come and knock on. I've had them knock on my office door when I was here. You know, and I've had some of them come, this is the truth, I've had some come and knock on the door and say, hey, I was traveling from Michigan, I'm on my way down to Texas, I've got this far and I don't got no money, do you got any money you can spare? Well, I figured if you left Michigan going to Texas, you should have made sure you had enough to get you there. You know, I mean, I don't understand that, you know, unless you're out there with your thumb stuck out. But I've had them, then I've give money to somebody and said, well, we really need this or that, and then come find out they were scamming. Yeah, there's a lot of panhandlers, and they're out here in Dixon. I'm after other places too, but I've ran into them around here in Dixon, you know. And, but I believe this, and the prophet said it too, I believe you take care of your own first. Before you go to giving out here and everything else, Brother Branham said, take care of your own church first. Take care of yourself first, your own people. And that's how I see it. When I'd get them phone calls and things, well, I'd say, well, no, I'm sorry. I can't help you. Why? Because I figured anybody needed help in here, this is where we should be helping. Amen. Now, if we end up with extra and abundance and supply beyond that, and you had it and you could help somebody, well, that's fine. But I don't think we should have people in our congregation having need and us not seeing to it. Amen. Now, you know, I've noticed in our house, you know, it could be something dropped on the floor. And everybody, all the kids, they all just walk on by it. And if you asked them, why didn't you pick that up? I didn't drop it. You know, Or if it was an article of clothing, well, it ain't my socks. Well, is it going to kill you to pick it up and put it where it should be? You know, because the thing is, I'll be honest with you, friends. I've raised two families now. I'm on my second family. And I can tell you this, you raise a big family, if you're putting everything on mama, it's going to break her back. She can't do everything. Everybody's got to pitch in. And I'll tell you this, I can show you in the message where the prophet put on an apron and went over and started doing dishes. So you say, well, I'm a man. My job is to do this and that and the other. I would say, I don't even know how to run a washing machine. Shame on you. If you don't know how, you know, you say, well, we don't need to. Well, if there's only two of you in the house, probably you don't. But we've had such a house full, two housefuls, right, you know, overflowing. But I'll tell you this, the washing machine is running every day. Every day. And towels, there's a load of towels to be washed every day. So you say, Brother Jerry, will you ever do any laundry? I sure will. If I'm there for a little bit, if I'm there and getting ready to head out somewhere, and I look over and see there's a basket full of towels, well, I'd throw them in the washing machine if nothing else. You know, kind of help things. And if I come back by the house and it's done, I'll throw them over in the dryer. When the kids get home, they can fold them. Look, I know a lot of things I say like that. I'm talking about in big families, and not everybody here is in a big family and maybe don't have needs like that. Or maybe, you know, a husband can get by not having to do anything, but it don't help. It don't hurt to help out every once in a while. We're in our household, there's two of us working. And with two of us working, you know, it don't hurt for me to unload the dishwasher every now and then. Say, well, I don't have need to. See what will happen if you just do it once. And that pours over into the church of God too. We need to, before the weather gets too bad on us, we've been needing it all year and we hadn't done it, but we need to have where we get together on a Saturday and we can maybe just bring some sandwiches or something like that or whatever, or soup or something, and give a thorough cleaning of this church building. It really needs a good thorough cleaning, something that can't be got to just by one or two people every week. And it's like my grandmother. Why, I remember her, she cleaned every day. But when spring come, she really cleaned. And she called it spring cleaning. And I'm telling you what, lampshades come off the lamps, curtains come off of the windows, everything was clean from top to bottom, you know, and not just the stuff he kept up with from day to day. And then when fall was coming in, why, she'd have another one of them cleans. And I think we need to, we have a need of it here to get together and, you know, and just, and we'll do that some Saturday. Amen. This coming week is the week of Thanksgiving. And so we won't have service on Thursday night. But I just want to, I want to know what y'all want. And if you want, we can just cancel the service and then we'll just see each other on Sunday. But if you want to come together, we could gather on Wednesday. And if we did, we'd have a testimony service. And you could sing a song or testify, whatever. I wouldn't preach. And but I just, whatever y'all want, that's what we'll do. If I ask for a show of hands, everybody would be kind of embarrassed. Say, well, man, they think I don't want church. But I know that there's, you know, I don't know how it works out for everybody. I know some, as they're getting ready for Thanksgiving and cooking, some of them, they got it going on. They're doing things on Wednesday. And I get that, I understand that. And some, if they're going out of town, maybe going to visit family during that holiday, I understand that too. And but we won't be having a service on that Thursday. And I want to wish y'all a happy Thanksgiving. And enjoy yourself, enjoy your family, you know. And I always look forward to Thanksgiving. I always look forward to any holidays we can have a supper at. And I know we normally have Thanksgiving, then Christmas and Easter. And then during the summer, we have cookouts. You know, Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day. You know, and then I was looking at, I don't got the calendar up here with me, but I was looking at having a dinner. We're going to be coming right up into month of December. And so I'll try to get an announcement that I want to have a dinner. We can have it kind of early on before we hit down into the holiday time, and have a dinner here at the church where we can bring things. And I was thinking, now this is just my thought, but I'll leave it up, you know, the sisters, you get together and talk it out or whatever. But I thought if we had something where we could have like a Christmas dinner, and whatever maybe was your specialty or your dish you made for Christmas or something like that, or your favorite dish, then, you know, maybe something like that would work out, you know. I can tell you at home, our Christmas dinner is one of the most unhealthiest dinners ever. Now, Thanksgiving, it stays pretty traditional, you know. But during Christmas, why, everybody's got their favorite dish and everybody gets a favorite dish in there, and there might be three different kinds of potatoes, you know. And besides that, there might be some potato salad and macaroni salad besides that. And there might be, you know, you say, we get the menu together, or me and the girls do. When they get the menu together, then one of them usually says, all right, we ain't got nothing green in this menu. We got to have something healthy, you know. And then if I'm around and hear them, I'll usually say, how about a seven-layer salad, you know? Could that count as our green? Because I have green beans when we eat Thanksgiving. And all the other stuff I like at Christmas time, I ain't got room in my plate for the green beans, too. You know? And sometimes they'll make some broccoli, which I will not eat on Christmas. I'll eat it any other time of the year, but I don't want to eat it at Christmas. Christmas, I only want to eat what really tastes good. I don't care what's good for you or not. I like candy potatoes, and I like baked beans, and I like ham, and you know, and all that kind of stuff, you know. And that's the one meal that we do that I say, hey, look, for this meal, I am not a diabetic. But But I was thinking we could get together, you know, and just have a dinner together here coming up in December. I don't got a calendar to look at the dates. The only thing I know is December the 3rd falls on a Thursday, and I only know that because I got an appointment. So we'll take a look at it and get it announced out just as quick as we can. We got one more service, one more Sunday in November. One more Sunday, and then we'll be into the month of December. And the year went by really fast. It seems to me like that this year has really, really went by awful fast. And I don't know, somebody said the older you get, the faster they go, you know. And I remember when I was a kid, it seemed like summer lasted a long time, you know. And I couldn't wait for summer to get there. But when summer got there, I didn't want to spend no time in the house. I want to be outside doing something, you know. And well, I'll stay off the only child thing. You ever played pitch and catch with yourself, Brother Todd? Yeah, I did too. I used to throw it up on the barn roof and get it to roll down off the barn roof and see if I could catch it. Oh, mercy. Boy, let's stand. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord God, to be here. We're thankful, Lord, for your mercy. Lord, I know that this maybe wasn't one of those shouting messages. Lord, it was just kind of delivered in maybe a different way, but it was still, Lord, your word. And Lord, I believe that it's very important, Lord, that we recognize who our family is. Lord, I believe that myself, Lord, when it comes to the family of God, I got family members that's not serving the Lord. Lord, then they're not going to come before my family here, before the family of God here in the church. That's going to come first. Lord, I pray you bless the people today. Bless them in their fellowship, I pray. Lord, if the morning started off rough, I pray, Lord God, may their afternoon be nice. Lord, we know how the devil, he's always at work, Lord, trying to bring some kind of disruption. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, that you just help them, Lord, to have a good afternoon and evening and get to enjoy themselves, Lord. Lord, before they have to head back to work on Monday. We ask this now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a song I was wanting to sing. Nate, you can come on up. There was a song I was wanting to sing. Maybe you can find it. Hear it. I know the part of it goes, "Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King." Is it in that book too, Brother Paul? Mm-hmm. 206, try that. Cheers. lost and lonely within, but with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and love, took me under his wings. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King.
Washed in the fountain. Godspeed, dismiss this time. Love, Brother Phil.